Psalm 36 is better. Let's go to Psalm 6. As we, my son Nathan reminded me today, September 11th today, momentous occasion of the birth of Jesus Christ. Nothing more momentous has superseded that, as far as I know. Psalm 6. Last time we were together, we looked at satisfied in God and satisfied in Him. And I wanted to do a related topic this week, and it's on thankfulness. And I was looking at a lot of things this week. I was looking at idolatry, not that I need more of it, but just to understand it, and other things related to that. And I decided to look at thankfulness. And Psalm 6 is a good place to start. Verse 5 is a pretty poignant verse. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? So essentially, the time to give thanks is now. Because when you're dead, you're not going to give any. No one's going to give God thanks after that point. And got to thinking about how powerful it is in life to live with a thankful heart. Ezekiel chapter 28. Unthankfulness, we'll look at for just a brief moment. I don't want to look at that for too long. But unthankfulness is rooted in evil. And you see that in the Word. In Ezekiel 28, a section that refers to the adversary, it's very interesting. In verse 12, it says, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. This is referring to Lucifer, as you know. Verse 13, Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. There's a whole list here of all the blessings that Lucifer had. Right? Blessings. He was just in a very, very exalted position. Thou art the anointed cherub, verse 14, see, that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy way. See, all the great position that Lucifer had, all the blessings from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and that they may behold thee. In Isaiah chapter 14, so he had a lot of blessed privileges in what where he God had set him. In Isaiah 14, verse 12, again talking about Lucifer. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the star God, is what it says. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. See, Lucifer had a lot of blessings. I mean, he could have said, well, you know, I'm in second in command, I'm the bright and morning star, I'm responsible for worship, I've been so, and he could have just enumerated all the things that God had blessed him with. Yet what did he do? He looked at the one thing that he didn't have. A lot of times, unthankfulness, you'll find it, we'll see it again in Genesis, but unthankfulness results as when we focus on the things that we don't have, as opposed to focusing on all the things that God has blessed us with. Right? Look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And so certainly with the adversary that was true. He decided to just concentrate on the one thing he didn't have. Genesis chapter 1. And verse 31, when God had formed, made, and created all the things that he did in Genesis, this is verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and even in the morning with the sixth day. So God made everything, it was very good, it was a great blessing for man, and then he put man in the garden in Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So God gave man this blessed paradise, you know, he could just do whatever. He was blessed. He was, you know, a perfect fellowship with God, great blessings, you know, food, whatever. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So he had everything, all the blessings. There was one thing that God told him that he wasn't or couldn't have or wasn't supposed to do. So we don't have to read the record of what happened. I think you're all well aware of what happened after that. What was it that the adversary used against man? The one thing that he didn't have, which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's what he used to deceive Eve. And then, as we know, Adam wasn't deceived. He disobeyed God willingly and knowingly. He chose that one thing that he didn't have. Again, being not thankful for all that he had, but choosing rather to concentrate on the thing that he didn't have. And again, you see it's the same pattern there with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve could have also said the same thing. They could have said, look at what God's done for us, paradise. And, you know, they could have said to the devil, get lost. I don't need anything. I've got everything. I know a knowledge of good. Why do I want a knowledge of evil anyway? They could have said all that. But instead, concentration on what we didn't have. And a lot of times you'll see that unthankfulness results in our lives when we start thinking about what we don't have. Or we start thinking or comparing about, well, what does that person have? Or what does that person know? Or how is this? And we start comparing, which, as we know in Corinthians, says when we do that, we're not very wise to be doing that kind of thing. But that's what leads to unthankfulness. Remember Israel? When God told Israel, I'm going to take you from here and I'm going to take you to the promised land, and you're going to get cities you haven't built and vineyards you didn't plant and all these wonderful things. And what did he tell him after that? He goes, okay, after that all happens, don't forget who gave you that. Right? The adversary didn't concentrate on what he had. Adam and Eve chose the thing they didn't have. And then when Israel got to the promised land, not even when they got to the promised land, on their way to the promised land, right? They decided to think about that. Oh, we don't have water. Oh, well, you just had the parting of the Red Sea. You had a cloud by night. Sorry, you know, light by night and a cloud by day. You had that. You had, you know, you have, but we don't have this. Okay, so if God could provide all that for you, is there a possibility he might be able to provide you the water? Yeah, every possibility. Yet the unthankfulness resulted as a result of concentrating on what they didn't have as opposed to on God, who had blessed them with everything that they did have. Right? In Romans chapter 1. So like I said, I don't want to talk about unthankfulness too much, but one more record, which we should read. And it's amazing what unthankfulness can lead to. It's actually shocking what it can lead to. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. I mean, you know, I'm sure before we even read this, you guys know of all kinds of records in the Old Testament what unthankfulness led to. Remember the guys, Korah and those guys, who tried to said, well, you know, how can we can't worship the way Moses and Aaron and these, you know, what happened there? I think a certain earthquake, you know, unthankful. They were like, they had nothing to complain about. Well, actually, that's not true. They should have complained about nothing, but they found a lot to complain about. Right. In Romans 1:18, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. As you read a few verses here, I want you to just pay attention very closely to whether these people that it's talking about here, did they know about God and all his blessings? Okay, just pay attention to that in this section. First, we see it right here in the verse, who hold the truth. So they did know about the truth. So you see it there. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There's no excuse. Because that when they knew God, what? They did know God, right? They glorified him not as God. You're going to see in this section that everything they did was a choice. They chose the other way. It wasn't that they were deceived. They chose to not serve God. They glorified him not as God, neither were what? Thankful. Right? They were not thankful for all the blessings that God had given them. They chose to think about everything else but God and all the things that he had blessed them with, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, unto birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. God gave them up because they gave him up to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, and so forth. Changed the truth of God. Did they know the truth of God? Did they know it? They changed it, the truth of God, into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. You know, and then we can read right down to the, let's just keep reading a bit more. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Anybody see any indications of that kind of thing inside these days? Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the error and all that. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Could they have retained God in their knowledge? Yes, they could have. But they did not like to. They did not want to do that. See the choices here? They made choices. They were not thankful for the God who had given them all that they had. God gave them over to a reprobate mind, do those things which are not convenient. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, all this junk. Down to verse 32, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worship worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure. And so just a real horrible and miserable road down here, as God indicates. Why? They weren't thankful. They weren't thankful for the God that had given them all this. And, you know, so again, I don't want to spend too much time on thankfulness, but it's amazing biblically how an unthankful heart can lead to a lot of issues and spiritual problems. I mean, the biggest ones, the fall of the adversary, the fall of man, right? And then you can understand that anytime we see unthankfulness in our own lives, the kind of thinking that it can lead us to, and the kind of, you know, not thinking about God and all that he's done, and we can go down all sorts of ways that are not godly. So again, enough about unthankfulness, but now to look at the other side of it, and that is the power that you can have in life because of a thankful heart, right? To have a heart that is, have you ever spent time around somebody who's thankful, right? Somebody, just nothing shakes them. They're just like, oh, just, they're just blessed, you know? They're just, you know, you can get, the worst things can happen. There's, you know, well, that's, you know, I'm just thankful God's there, and I'm blessed to know him and that he takes care of me. On the other side, have you ever spent time around someone who always complains? That's probably more prevalent than a thankful heart. You know, what is the common thing to do in the world these days about everything? Complain. You know, how are you doing? Yeah, could be better. You know, surviving. That's good. That means you have a pulse. That's great. I remember men like David in the Old Testament. I was reading some of the records about him there. Remember that when God blessed him and that wonderful prayer, he goes into the room, he goes, oh, my Father, he goes, oh, my God, he goes, who am I that you would even think about blessing me, right? And he goes, not only that, but not only have you blessed me, but you've also told me what's going to happen with my son, right? He goes down this road like, you know, was David perfect? No, wasn't perfect. He made some mistakes, but he had a heart that was thankful to God, and he lived his life before God. In fact, it was David who had appointed the Levites in the temple to do what? To praise God. He had appointed the singers to praise God and to be thankful unto God. It was David who did that. Hebrews 13. You know, you can think of, remember the 10 lepers that Jesus Christ healed, right? How many came back and actually gave thanks to God? One. Didn't the Lord ask about the others? He said, well, weren't there 10? Where are the others? Only this one's come back and given thanks. What happened to him? He was made whole, wasn't he? Just for being thankful. He was made whole. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See, it's pretty easy to be thankful and contented with life when you know that God will never leave or forsake you. You know, it would be miserable to, you know, say, well, you know, because, you know, I'm gonna just drop you. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. No, God says, look, you be thankful and contented because I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. And that in itself is a good enough reason to be thankful for the rest of our lives, right? That God will never leave or forsake us. In 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Right? And again, if you read verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. That's certain. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You know, one of the problems about in the world, and this is only one of them, it's not the only problem in the world. One of the problems in the world is that we are trained and taught to be unthankful. Many of the so-called water cooler conversations that you have or don't have, or, you know, people tend to stand around and they complain about the government, we complain about the weather. Too hot, it's too cold. If it's too cold, you know, the other way. If it's too wet, it's too dry. And people think that they need to complain. It seems to be a rite of passage into hanging out with people that you must complain about something, you know. And rarely do you ever hear somebody in a conversation say, oh, well, I'm really blessed, you know. Thanks, God took care of this and God took care of this. You know, a lot of times it's about their wives. I hear guys complaining all the time about their wives, you know. They say, I'm sure glad to be away from my wife. You know, I got this time away. What a blessing. Or I can't wait for the kids to leave. Or, you know, all these things that you go, well, why did you get married? And why do you have kids? You know, what's the point? You know, so to be thankful, you know, and if you're to turn around and say, well, you know, I love my wife and I'm thankful to God for her and I'd rather be with her than with you right now, right? You don't ever hear people say that. You know, what's the, so because we're trained to be unthankful, we shouldn't be surprised if it might take us a little bit of effort to become thankful in our lives. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but certainly the rewards of being thankful are well worth the effort that we might put forward. You know, why wait for that piece of equipment you need? Why be thankful for what you have? Buy it now on credit. Why wait? Buy it now. Don't be thankful for what you have. Get more. then the credit companies can be thankful for your credit. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all. See that none render evil for evil unto any, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That is a command from God. He doesn't say, well, you know, you might want to give thanks. He says, no, in everything, do what? Give thanks. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It doesn't say, for everything, give thanks. It says, in everything, give thanks. You know, if I'm as sick as a dog, I'm not sure where that expression came from. Do dogs care? Anyway, if I'm really, really sick, you know, and I say, well, God, I sure am thankful for this sickness. Well, that's just stupid. You know, why did he have the Lord die for me and raise him from the dead, and by his stripes I am healed? But certainly, if I'm sick, I can say for sure that I know that Jesus Christ is coming back. I know that God has healed me in the past, and he's blessed me, and he can bless me and heal me now. I know that God never looks at me unrighteously, but sees me as Christ himself because of all that Jesus Christ has done. You know, you can go down the road, and there's a lot of these blessings that you can enumerate as opposed to concentrating on that one opportunity that I might have in this situation, right? Because I guarantee you, the one way of thinking will lead me far from him. The other way of thinking will lead me to him, which is where I really want to be. You know, not only when I'm feeling well, but when I'm not feeling well, or when things are not going the way I want them to go. I want to be right there as close as possible to God and the things of God, as opposed to, well, you know, complaining about this and complaining about that, and how come this and how come that. So, you know, no matter what happens, and that's a pretty broad statement, no matter what happens, we always have a basis for being thankful to God. In everything, give thanks. When Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, things were going pretty bad, weren't they? Did he have anything to be thankful for there? Sure. He knew that God was going to raise him from the dead. He knew that God would never leave him. He knew that God was always with him. Did Jesus Christ say, you know, oh, what the heck is wrong and what did I do? No, he didn't do that. He says, not my will, Father, but thy be done. Right. Thankful. In Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord," you'll see a lot of verses we're looking at here in always talk about Christ Jesus, the accomplishments that he did. "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with," what? "With thanksgiving." Right? With thanksgiving. All the things that God has blessed us with in Christ Jesus allows us to abound with thanksgiving. Reconciliation, we already talked about. You know, God having purchased us with the price of his Son and brought us back, the atonement, back to him by the work of Jesus Christ. Is there ever a day that we can't be thankful for that? The righteousness, the sanctification, which we learned a lot about this summer, about not just with the common lot of man, but set apart, right, for heaven. Is there a day, is that ever going to change? Whether I have a cold or whether I, you know, I'm having a hard time in my job or whether whatever, is that ever going to change? No. Well, sure, I'm grateful I'm sanctified, Father. You know, I got these crutches for a few days, but I'm still sanctified. You know, or am I going to say, well, what did I do wrong? What the heck is wrong with me? Or, Father, where are you? How come you're not, You know, how come this, how come that? You know, my choice is mine. Those guys in Romans, they chose that way. And they said, I'm putting God out of my thoughts. I'm going to be unthankful. I'm going to go down this road. I don't care what happens. You know, again, I mentioned earlier why I was looking at idolatry. And this is why I was looking at it. It was because I think, you know, a lot of times we think idolatry, because it's, you know, let's be honest. It's pretty stupid for a person to bow down to a piece of wood or a piece of metal. Like, logic doesn't make any sense. I think a lot of times idolatry starts by people just choosing a God that lets them do whatever the heck they want. Live whatever the way they want to live, you know, and just do whatever, you know, the kings had the houses of the Sodomites right next to the temple. The king allowed that to happen. You just choose that way of life, and that God serves my purpose, I'll choose him. But I guarantee you, people continue down that road long enough, then they become dumb, stupid, dullened. Ears they have, they can't hear. Eyes they have, they can't see. And that's the road right down, right? Those guys in Romans chose that road. I don't want to choose that road when something's not right. I want to serve. I want to go back to God and say, God, thank you for all that you've done, like it says here, in Christ Jesus for me. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I love this verse. It's a great verse. You know, again, I only listed a few things. I'm sure you can think of others. Joint heirs with Christ, seated in the heavenlies, the hope of the return, complete in Christ, nothing lacking. Right? Man, you know, it's just a list, which is great. You know, that's a list that we ought to keep in the back of our mind, ready all the time. Not the back, the forefront of our mind. How about that? 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 17. For thou verily givest thanks well. This is talking about speaking in tongues. It says, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. So it says in Corinthians that if I want to give thanks, I can speak in tongues, and I can be giving thanks while I speak in tongues. What a blessing. What a way, if you don't particularly want to bring things to your mind that are English, you can speak in tongues and be thankful. And it's interesting, next verse, I thank my God. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all, right? And I was thinking about this verse. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. Literally, Paul here is giving thanks to be able to give thanks. Perfectly. I can give thanks perfectly. You know, what a blessing. We have the manifestations of Holy Spirit. You can walk by the Spirit. 9 manifestations available to us every moment of every day. Wow, why would I ever want to be unthankful? You know, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. What a great way to live life, to have a thankful heart. You know, again, not to be thankful for everything, but in everything. You know, because there is a ungodly way of Christian thinking which says, well, you know, you're not really sick, you just think you are. Well, no, actually, when I'm sick, I'm pretty much sick, you know. That's what I am. Until I get delivered, that's what I am. So I'm not going to whitewash it with, you know, false Christian thinking. But I do know he who can deliver me in that situation. I'm really thankful for that, you know. Philippians 4:6. Be careful or anxious or mentally distracted for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. It's interesting how many times thanksgiving shows up in prayers. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through, again, Christ Jesus, the anointed one, the one that's seated at the right hand of God, the accomplishments of our Lord. Here it says, with thanksgiving. And this is interesting. It doesn't just say by saying thanks. Thanks is a word thrown around pretty loosely in the world, right? Yeah, thanks. You know, thanks, Father. Thanks, Father. Thanks, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Right? Doesn't say just, is it possible for me to say thank you and not mean it? You know, Yeah, sure is. Is it possible for me not to say thank you, but have a thankful heart? Absolutely. So here, it's not just saying thanks, but with thanksgiving. And I was reading, I read in the Old Testament, a lot of places where, and even in the Gospels too, where you'd be amazed at how many times they just say, okay, they just take a moment and say, let's just thank God for this before we go on. Let's just thank God for this before we go on. It's really great. It's great. If you look at all the times Jesus Christ said, okay, let's give, he gave thanks and he broke the bread. Right? He gave thanks and did this. And Paul said, okay, I give thanks that we made it here so far. Just this great thankful heart, like I mentioned David. Who am I, God? You know, that's a thankful heart. Solomon, when he first started to reign, right? What did he say? I can't, you know, I can't judge this people. You're so great at people. You know, and so God gave him wisdom. What a thankful heart he had at that time, you know. So to have a heart of thankfulness that is just full of praise to God, it's amazing. And that doesn't just mean saying thanks. Colossians chapter 4. Just one over. Colossians 4, 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same. You know, again, talking about this prayer of being vigilant and watching over one another and the things of one another in the body of Christ with thanksgiving at the same time. Not just saying thanks, but being thankful for all that God has blessed us with. That the very truth that we can pray for one another and expect God to take care of situations. You know, I was reading Nehemiah this morning a little bit where, you know, a problem happens. Immediately, what do? They go, and immediately we prayed that God would take care of it. And he did. What a blessing. What a thing we can be thinking about when we pray. Well, we can be thankful that God hears our prayers and is willing to listen to us. Just like David said, who are we that he would listen? I'm so thankful. Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What a great verse. You know, right in Ephesians, the pinnacle of revelation to the church, God talking about singing to yourself. You know, singing to yourself and to others and making melody in your heart to the Lord, making a melody. That doesn't mean it has to be in tune. You know, it doesn't mean, we're not all great singers, but I can certainly make melody to the heart, in my heart to the Lord, and be singing to him in psalms and hymns and speaking in tongues and being thankful, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great way to live life. I mean, we saw the previous verses, you know, not to walk circumspectly as fools and drunkenness and all that stuff, but as opposed to all that, being thankful to God for all that he has done for us and being blessed, you know. And, you know, again, you wonder how much time during the week we might even think about that. We certainly can seem to find the time to complain about things, you know. But how much time do I spend in the week just thinking about being thankful to God for all that he has blessed us with or blessed me with or, you know, enumerating in my mind, thinking, going back over, oh yeah, that was great, and you know, what a blessing that and this. And when you start doing that, what happens to your mind? Your state of mind changes very rapidly, you know, to being, you know, the things that are you're complaining about or seem to kind of wash away pretty fast. Because the list on the thankful side, thanks be to God and the work he's done in Christ Jesus, is very long. There's a nice long list there that we can think about. Oh, you mean you're never gonna, judge me because I've already been judged in Christ Jesus? You mean that when the Lord comes back, you're only going to bless me and reward me for just in accepting Jesus Christ? You mean I've got eternal life? That's it. That's all I had to do. And we start going down that road of, and before you know it, that hangnail isn't so painful anymore. The paper cut has gone away. Colossians 3, a couple more verses here. Colossians chapter 3. Knowing these verses, that some of the verses we looked at today, and there are a lot of them, we should be able to spot in our mind when we're about to become unthankful. We should be able to, and again, an old expression we always say, no, not many people think about what they think about. Well, we should think about what we think about. And if we're about to go down that road of unthankfulness, we should grab it immediately and not brood on it, and to the point that, because the more you brood on these things, the longer you go down that road, it's a little bit further road back up to being thankful. So you grab it right away and say, oh, okay, I know I'm just about to, well, instead I'm going to think about this. And then when you start thinking about all things that God has blessed you with, that builds your believing. That builds your believing and confidence in Him to deal with whatever it was that was about to lead you down the road of unthankfulness. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. This is a parallel record in Ephesians, right? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, whatsoever, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. What a great verse. We'll close in Psalm 92. We started in Psalm, we're going to close in Psalm. That great verse that Paul wrote in Philippians, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. What a great way to live with the body of Christ. Whereas you might be tempted to say, every time I think of you, I think that one time you did this to me. No. Or every time I think that person, oh, I can't. No. How about no matter who it is that comes to mind amongst the believers we have known in our lives? I know in the body of Christ, sometimes we're more cruel to one another, or people have been cruel to us within the body over the years, and that's happened. Certainly it's happened. Otherwise Ephesians wouldn't talk about lying, stealing, cheating, and all this stuff to the faithful in Christ Jesus if it didn't happen. But how about when those people come to mind, we say, well, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Why not have that heart of attitude? Why allow those rifts or problems of the past and bitterness, whatever was there, to have an impact on us now? Why not? I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Psalm 92, verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. So, thankful heart, what a great way to live life.